Hallelujah. At least two or three people know that. We're going to be all right. Amen. I'm excited about our future and where we are headed. The pastor search team has done an outstanding job. If you've seen your inserts, I'm looking forward to the 16th. Invite your friends to come out and hear a word from a man of God who may be our interim. And I'm celebrating that. But I do have a word for you today, because that's all I really have is a word. Let's get the first scripture up. The title. Let's go out there and try it again. We'll be in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5. Anybody here need a breakthrough? An overflow? A season where God just blesses you beyond. I see hands waving. Because a season where God just blesses you like never before. A season of overflow. We're going to look at these scriptures and we're going to figure out what we need to do in order to have a season of miracles and blessings and overflow. I'm talking about a breakthrough. First verse, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Notice here, and keep that scripture up for just a minute, what we see in the scripture is the people are still looking for a word. There's nothing new under the sun today. They were looking and they were pressing upon Jesus to give them a word. And I believe that there are people here today who came out to receive a word. If you preach the word with power and authority, people will come out to hear the word. There's nothing changed. The word, the word, the word, the word. It's the word. And we see there that there are two boats at the water's edge. Two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Which means they had ended their day of fishing. They had gone out all day and had been fishing all day and had caught nothing. And they left the boats. And the boats were empty. Anybody ever, maybe I'll just talk about myself. I don't know if anybody's had those experiences where you have tried all that you can do and you still come back empty. You've given it your best shot and you've just decided to call it quits for today. Anybody ever give up and you're just tired because you're tired of failing? Failed in your marriage, failed in your relationships, failed with your children perhaps, failed with your parents. I even failed in school. They only put me in first grade on a trial basis because I had failed kindergarten. How do you fail kindergarten? You not stock the blocks right? What? In my life, there have been failures and points and times where I have said, I just feel like giving up. Let me hip you to something. I didn't get saved because I was on top of the world. I didn't come to Jesus because everything was right in my life. I came to Jesus when I was broke and busted and I didn't have any joy in my life and my boat was empty and I got out of the boat and I decided to give up because I was tired of losing. But after verse 2, there's a verse 3. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked them to put out a little from shore. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And I want to stop right there. And you can take that verse off for right now, and we'll come back to it. When their boat was empty, when they gave up trying to do it on their own, that's when Jesus stepped into the picture. I'm so happy to be a testimony and to have this testimony of my life. To say the day that I gave up trying to do this thing on my own, the day that I thought it was over, that's the day that Jesus said, it ain't over. We just getting started. Giving up. I even almost gave up on life. Things were so bad in my life. Failed so much in my life that I took my 357 Magnum and put a couple rounds in it and spun the chamber and actually dreamed about blowing myself away. And the biggest lie that the enemy can tell you today is that nobody loves you and nobody wants you. When God said, I love the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And if nobody else loves you, you better know that Jesus loves you. Won't you empty your boat and let the master come in? He comes into their boat after they give up. After they've given up, he steps into the boat. He steps into the pitcher. And he starts teaching. And he tells Simon Peter, push back just a little bit. I'm so happy that everybody's here today to push back just a little bit so that you can receive the word. And God uses that vessel that was empty before to preach a word to the people. It's nice to know that he didn't tell Peter to do anything that was outside of his comfort zone. Where are you in the story? He didn't tell him to go too far, not before he got a word. He just told him just to push out just a little bit. Don't go too far. I'm not going to ask too much of you. Where are you in the story? Are you in the place where God's not asking you to go too far? Not until you get a word. But when he gets a word, after the sermon, after Jesus preaches, look at the next verse. That same verse 3. He got into one of the boats. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch, which means he's asking Peter to stretch himself just a little more. Did you get that? After he got the word, after Peter heard the sermon, after the word was given to Peter, Christ tells him, now I want you to do something with that word. I want you to go out and fish in deeper water. Throw yourself out there. But notice something here. If Jesus, the Holy Spirit, tells you to go out there, you are not wasting your time. There's a benefit and a reward to pursuing after the things that God tells you to pursue after. The word says he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. But you see, there's a part that we have to play in the release of the miracle. Christ says, Peter, Simon, if you go out there a little further than where you are right now, if you just launch out there a little further, outside of your comfort zone, you'll be bringing in a season of overflow and abundance and your breakthrough. Von Forrest, our breakthrough is out there. Next verse. Oh, I look kind of good with the tie. Peter, Simon didn't have, I keep calling him Peter, but it's Simon here. He's not Peter yet. And Simon is answering him. He says, Master, he calls him Master. I want you to notice that. Master, teacher, good preacher. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Pause right there. He didn't have an excuse before, but now he has an excuse. And what he's saying here is, we've been out there. This doesn't make sense. We've already gone where you told us to go. We've already tried, and it didn't work. We're doomed to fail. But he follows it up with, but because you say so, because of your word, because of what you spoke, because of what you taught me, I will let down the nets. No amen. Oh, it's too late now. Let me just talk to the people that are not perfect. Let me talk to people who have tried it and given up. Let me give you a word that might encourage you to try again. Gave up on your marriage, but you're going to try again. Gave up on your parents, but going to try again. Gave up on some of your children, but you're going to try again. I guarantee you, at the end of this sermon, at the end of this word, I guarantee you about two or three people are going to leave this place, and you're going to try again. You're going to try again. I know you tried the last time. I know you think that it's not going to work out for you. I know you tried that relationship before. I know you tried that job before. I know you tried and you gave up. And it looks like if you try it again, you're wasting your time. But when you get a word from God and God says try it again, and you go with God in your boat, I guarantee you, when you try this time, it'll be a difference. I'm a witness. Marriage on the rocks. And God said, try it again. Relationship with my children. Not really what I wanted it to be. God said, try it again. Even my history and my relationship with Von Forrest left for a little while. God said, try it again. Because if you try it again and you take me with you, you'll bring in a season of overflow, a breakthrough. And I'm happy after 25 years of marriage, in the middle of that thing, when I was thinking about giving up, I tried again because of the word of God. And my wife used to at one point say, I can't stand you. And I said, well, let's have a competition. We'll see who hate each other the most. But I tried it again. And now she still calls me Big Daddy. Somebody here gonna try it again. Heart broke. Your heart's broke. And you do like Dionne Warwick. I'll never fall in love again. But because of this word, because God tells you to try again, somebody here is going to get a nice fresh cut, put some smell good on, and some whitening on that yellow grill, and you're going to try again. Amen. Next scripture. Master, we've worked all night. Haven't come. We've been here before. But because of your word, because you said so, we will try again. And when they had gone, done so, when they obeyed the word, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. I'm talking about a breakthrough. God blessed them on purpose. See, I'm actually starting to believe this word of God, that if I stand on the word, my breakthrough is on the way. It sounds crazy. It doesn't seem like it'll work in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, I'm just doing the word of God. And I'm trusting that word of God enough to know that if he did it for Simon, maybe he'll do it for me. A breakthrough. A breakthrough. A breakthrough. And here's the neat thing about a breakthrough. There's a part that you play after you get the word. If God says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. If God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. then there's a part that we have to play in order by faith on the Word of God. When we put faith to the Word of God, it releases the miracle. The woman with the issue of blood, she could have stayed in her room all day long and said, I heard that Jesus is good. I heard that Jesus is able. But until she moved on the word that she heard and pressed her way through the crowd, her faith releases the miracle that's waiting for her. I'm telling you, there's something waiting for you and I if we just move on the word. And it's interesting because we're talking about Jesus here. And Jesus could have blessed him right there by the shore. Because anybody that knows anything about fishing knows that sometimes when it's cool and early in the morning, fish do kind of gather by the shore. He could have blessed them right there. I'm not talking about Aqua. If Aquaman can do it, I know Jesus could have done it. I mean, Aquaman, he talks to the fishes. You know, amen. Young kids don't know anything about Aquaman. They have to Google that up. Amen. Justice League. You guys, anybody know anything? Hey, amen. All right, okay. Amen. Somebody knows that. Okay, amen. All right. All right. He could have blessed them right there. Why didn't he? Why didn't he just bring the fish right there? Peter was already obedient. Why didn't he bless them right there? Because in order to get to where God wants you to be, you have to move out on the word by faith, and it releases the miracle and your breakthrough. What you gave up on, won't you try again? Next verse. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. See, this is why God wants to bless you. This is why God wants you to have a breakthrough. This is why God wants you to have a season of overflow and abundance. Because it's not about you. He wants to bless you so that you can bless somebody else. Overflow. Look at it. The ship that Jesus didn't get in was still at the shore. The other boat is out there hauling it in. Just bringing it in. And they call to the other ship that didn't take out. They call to the other ship that didn't have Christ. They call to the other ship that wasn't experiencing a breakthrough. They call to the other ship that was having problems in their marriage. They call to the other ship that was having problems back on the shore. But because of the testimony and the breakthrough that they were experiencing, that ship moved to where they were. Don't you know your testimony? Revelation said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony. He wants to bless you on purpose, so that you can bring somebody else into a season and a breakthrough. He wants to bless you on purpose so that somebody else can get blessed. And ain't it nice to know that if you haven't been doing this thing as long as I have, if you just got saved, it doesn't disqualify you from enjoying a breakthrough season with the rest of us. Amen. Next verse. Yeah, I got 5 minutes to wrap this up. No, they got little signs here. I'm serious. I got 5 minutes to wrap this up. They say you've been preaching too long lately, and we've been getting to the restaurant late. We got 5 minutes to wrap this up. Amen. I'm gonna try. Amen. God bless them. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so they were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. You know what a true worshiper is? I want you to see something here. Because Simon Peter saw the miracle, because he got blessed, after his failure, he still got blessed. After he had messed up and come back empty-handed, it didn't disqualify him from getting blessed. After he had failed a number of times, he gets blessed all over again. Wow, that's awesome. And because he got blessed, he hit his knees. He hit his knees, and he fell down in a posture of worship. And he said, I wonder why he worshiped. Because he saw the miracle, and he said, I'm a sinner. Go away from me. And I want to tell you what a true worshiper is. A true worshiper is not a complainer. Because you're always going to have somebody going to complain. Somebody's complaining now. But this is what a true worshiper does. Like Simon Peter. You look at what you got. You look at how God has blessed. And you realize you don't deserve it. Does anybody here deserve the love of God? Does anybody here deserve the blood of Christ? Did anybody do anything to earn it? Shouldn't we all be disqualified? You know what a true worship, you know what true worship is? Is when you look at your situation, you know, I'm not that good. I really don't deserve this. And he blessed me anyway. And Peter couldn't help but get on his knees and worship the living God because of what he blessed him with. And he knew he didn't deserve it. And a true worshiper, if there's a true worshiper in the house, they'll worship God, not because of their situation, but because they know they don't deserve the love of God. I don't deserve it. And so I worship him. I don't deserve it. And so I can't help but raise my hands and just wave it to the Lord and say, thank you. I don't deserve it, but you bless me anyway. That's a worshiper. When you can look at your situation and say, I'm not that good. I don't deserve this. Oh, I feel like worshiping right now. You know what that's called? That's called amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I want. Was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Next verse. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishers of men. Breakthrough, revival, overflow. Next slide. I don't know where Norman is. Where you at, Norman? Oh, Norman's not here. Amen. Norman told me that we had 18 people show up at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon for outreach and evangelism. Visits. Amen. We had 18 people show up at 3:30 in the afternoon here on Sundays. At 3:30 in the afternoon, out there in the lobby, teams get together and we go out. And we go out into the deep. And we look for lost souls. Or we visit people who have visited us. 18 people. Amen. 18 for the entire month of January. We had 18 people go out for the entire month of January. I remember years ago that we would have about 150 people go out on one day. I want this church to have a breakthrough. I want my church to have a breakthrough. I gave you the word. Let's turn this around. We had a wild game supper. We had women's retreat. There's a whole lot of fish out there. There's a whole lot of souls out there. It's time for us to launch out into the deep and bring back a haul. Amen. Now let me tell you, if you do show up at 3:30 this afternoon, make sure you get on the right team. Because if you get on Sister Helen's team, you might be out there for a while. I remember when I was growing up, we used to go fishing. My 5 minutes is up, but I'm going to tell this little story or whatever because I still got the mic that hadn't turned me off yet. But they will, so I got to hurry up. That boy. All right, so I got 3 minutes. I'm going to wrap this up quick. My dad, we grew up going fishing in upstate New York. We used to go fishing. Crappy, bass, pike, we used to go fishing. And we were poor, and we didn't have a boat. So we used to go fish on the bank. We used to go fishing on the bank. And we'd catch some nice fish fishing from the shore or whatever. But, you know, when it gets hot, if anybody knows anything about fishing, when it gets hot, the fish move out into deep water. And it's getting hot around here. And so we need to move out into deeper water because that's where the fish go. But, man, when Dad bought a boat, oh, my goodness, we would go out into the deep, and we would always bring back a haul. I mean, we just, we love crappie. But crappie fish, just amazing. And so just get out there and put Jesus in the boat and just, man, just wear the fish out. And so we're out there as kids, man, we're catching. And I took my daughter, Rachel, out there fishing with us or whatever, you know, so she can enjoy fishing. She had never caught a fish before. So we're out there in the deep, and she's fishing, and she's starting to catch fish, and she's catching her first fish, and she's having a wonderful time. Oh, having a great time catching the fish. Well, after a while, the fish stopped biting. So Rachel's ready to come back in. And so we just start fishing along, and we start catching a few fish here, and she's getting restless or whatever. She wants to come back in. And so as we're coming back in, I said, okay, baby, we're coming back in, and we're coming back into the shore. But I saw this spot that looked very nice. See, that's what Sister Helen does. When you're on your way back in, she'll see a spot that looks very nice, all right? and so I said, let's just go over here and just drop a hook over here or whatever. So we dropped the hook over there, and we started catching fish, and we started hauling more fish in or whatever, right? And my daughter, Rachel, was like, I thought we were going in. I said, no, you never go in when you're catching fish. And so, you know, we're catching fish. We can't go in right now until we fish this spot out. And then she started coming up with all these excuses. I'm hungry. Get her a sandwich. There's a sandwich. There's a sandwich. There's bologna and cheese. There you go. I'm thirsty. There's a bottle of water. Give her a bottle of water. You know, but we're not leaving because we're fishing. It's hot out here. Oh, get her a big hat. There's a big hat. Put a big hat on her. Oh, I got to use the bathroom. Get her the red bucket. Because we ain't going in when we're catching fish, amen? I love this place. Let's go back out there and do it like we used to do. Let's try it again. I don't care if you're here at 3:30 or whatever you do in your life to witness to others. But Resurrection Day is coming. Let's fill this place with people that are lost. Let's fill this place with people who have given up. Let's go out there. Try it again. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for our church, for this.